Be careful.
And Scott Higgins, both of them coked up out of their minds.
Ah, listen to you. He's down in the basement. Yeah. Oh, I love that.
I think we should call this the Acement.
The Acement, yes.
Yeah, what do you think there, huh?
I like that. The Acement Studios. Oh.
Excuse me, I'm drinking beer. Hold on a second.
We usually drink bourbon on our end. Yeah, when we right. Do the podcast, so
that's all right.
Feel free to enjoy yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Shoot an eight ball if you want. We don't care as long as it's good stories.
Welcome to the Acement, everybody. It's time to go behind the funny. This is Scott Higgins,
and this is Ace Aceto.
And thank you for joining us. You guys are awesome tonight. Our bourbon date is Russell's Reserve.
Which none of us are drinking.
No, but I want to give them a little shout out. They're one of my regular drinking ones. Makes a great, great old fashioned. It's a delicious bourbon. And they also have a new 13-year that they came out with really, really good. So shout out to Russell's.
That'll be in February.
Yes.
We'll try it.
We'll get that to celebrate Ace making it through dry.
I'm halfway
January.
Through, and I don't.
He's done
I'm
very well.
Good.
I'm proud of my buddy. He set a goal and he's sticking to it.
That's right. I'm down 8 pounds too.
Oh, really? Yeah. I found him. If you want him back, by the way,
you could keep him
since you lost him. So good for you. But Ace has got a great one lined up for us. I was so excited when he told me about this one tonight.
Yeah, because you know what? I think we had him on season two or three.
Not three. It was early on.
And, you know, I think he's probably really more excited this time because the last time we took him to a fancy restaurant. Do you remember?
The fancy Italian place. I can't even pronounce it.
Olive? Gardenia?
Yeah, I think something like that.
Yeah, something like that. The breadsticks were fantastic.
I know.
But that was a fun episode, and we wanted to have him back on because he's got some new stuff going on. And
Got a CD out,
so we figured we'd bring our buddy Brad Mastrangelo back on. Brad, welcome back.
Boys, it's a pleasure. Now, I'm in your house. Last time we were at, it was Papagino's, by the way.
You know, I guess it wasn't as nice.
I think this is a high class thing. It was, or if you want to call it Papa DeGino's, but whatever you want to take, that's for the restaurant. But the breadsticks were good.
Yeah, they were good breadsticks, no matter what.
Now I get to come to your house. It only took me 6 hours to get here.
Yeah, I know, poor thing.
Everybody.
Here's something for you, maybe for the neighborhood. How about lights? Any of those? Yeah. Let's have a fundraiser. Yeah. Scotty, the next one to the Bradley, let's get lights.
Yeah, well, yeah, lights for Coventry, for Ginger Trail.
I went to four people's houses first. They're going, get out. Get away from I'm here for the podcast. Get away from me.
We have lights. We just don't have street lights on this side of the road for some reason. Yeah. If you go down the other side of the street, there's street lights. I don't know why they didn't put them in.
I drove by this one six times.
Oh, did you? I should have said the one with the blue lights on.
That's a great reference. If you've seen the movie Get Out, you don't want to go to Ace's house.
Yeah. But this is beautiful. This is really, really beautiful.
Thanks, man. Welcome to the Acement.
Like I told you before, I listen when I'm on the road or on cruise ships. I think I'm so happy for the both of you. And I do. I don't say it because I'm here. I love you both.
Thanks.
But the success, I think it's great.
Thanks, man.
We have a blast doing it. We love the guests that we have on. We're so happy to have you here tonight. And like I mentioned, big year this past year. You put out a CD must have been pretty exciting for you.
Something I never really did. And then Jim Serpico, do you know Jim?
No.
He used to be Dennis Leary's partner. I met him when I did Comics Come Home. And now he went on his own. He has like a small film company.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, look, if you want to do a DVD, a CD, I can, he's got connections at Satellite Radio.
Yeah.
All these, Spotify.
Like, right.
So I know nothing about this stuff.
Right.
I said, sure. And And I actually got Paul Gilligan to come do it with me.
Yeah, we both recorded one that night, right?
So Jim sent the guy. We did it at Giggles. Mike Clark said, Brad, have it here.
Right. And,
great club.
They come in, and this guy did a great. He mic'd the crowd. He mic'd us. He mic'd the mic. I mean, he really took his time. And it was just great. It was one of those great crowds.
Yeah.
And I think Paul's will be coming out soon, I think.
Yeah.
So we were both I didn't. It's funny. He took it and they edited it and they put it in clips. And I, you guys are probably better than that. So he sent it to me. He goes, "What do you think?" And I was blown away. It was so professional. And
you're like, "That's me. Like,
yeah, I'm that good."
Yeah. It was like, "Wow, that really sounds professional."
But, right. You know, right. Like,
you know. Now, did you record two shows? Or just one?
We just did the one. I actually recorded the night before. I recorded. It was a small crowd. They were nice, but the Friday night and the Saturday, and you guys know when you tape something, someone will be drunk or something.
Of course,
yeah. And it was just one of those nights that was just
perfect. Really,
that's awesome.
Yeah,
you lucked out.
Oh, please, don't screw this up. Someone be drunk, and it wasn't. And Paul, it was. I'm looking forward to hearing Paul. So it was great.
That's awesome. Yeah, I had that experience.
Yeah, we all.
I did mine up at the Portland, Maine Comedy Connection. I purposely did it because I didn't want to do. You know, when you're in Rhode Island, you're going to do local stuff. When you're in Boston, if you've got local Boston stuff, you're prone to do it.
Yeah.
So I said, well, let me do it in Portland, Maine, away from local crowds. I'll tweak those jokes. Mm-hmm. So I'm still doing the jokes, but I'm not making the local town references, you know. And I recorded two shows. Mm-hmm. First show, 4 drunk bachelorette parties.
Yeah.
And you hear them. I mean, you can hear them on the CD. There's nothing I could have done about it because they were yelling shit out. And I did interact with them. So there are some funny spots on it. But then the second show, you're announcing to the crowd, we're doing a taping tonight, right? You'd think maybe they laugh. Mm-hmm. Big smiles on their faces the whole time. As they're walking out, they're all like, oh my God, you were so funny. I'm like, could you have fucking laughed? You know?
What are you, a mime?
I got to use none of the second show. It was all the first show. And I got, I forgot his name, Pat something. He was Bob Marley's sound guy.
Oh, really?
For all of Bob's albums. So I had him. So he mic'd the audience. He mic'd me. Did a great job, but it was tough with some of the
is surprising because he did his when CDs first came out.
Yeah,
when they were first invented.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. They just changed over from cassette technology.
Yes. Hey, no, who are you kidding? I have a cassette.
Please, I have a. Oh, I have a. When I reel to reel started, I first taped a show, the VHS.
Yeah, the VHS cameras.
Martin,
yeah,
he said, "Brad, you got to do a tape." So I set up when Framingham. It used to be Nick's. Nick's used to have Framingham. And turns out there's a couple of drunks at the front.
In Framingham?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, right?
So I never taped anything, so I'm kind of, okay, I'm going to finally do this. And they start. I wish I got to find this. It's a VHS tape.
Yep.
I go off on these.
Oh, really?
I'm like, you dirty son of a bitch. You should choke on that chicken. Like Billy Martin, to this day, is the funny thing. I said, I hope you die right here. If you were choking, I'd stick it further down your throat. I mean, it was so funny, Scotty. I said, this tape is done. And I went ballistic. Billy Martin says, we're not going to use that tape. But that was
yeah, you don't want to send that to bookers.
I got to find that.
My first time on stage at a comedy club 22 years ago, I still have on...
Do you?
Videotape.
Oh, that's awesome.
Cal Verducci.
Cal Verducci.
Who we were talking about before the show. Yep. Taped it for me back when you had to put the actual video cassette
in. The whole cassette.
With the giant camera. Yep. And it was Kevin Knox's Monday night show at the Connection Faneuil Hall. Yep. Yep. And I still have that tape that's at awesome. Home. And back then, those cameras were a little grainy and everything when you watch it back and everything.
Well, I got one from Periwinkles.
Oh, geez.
This guy, we used to call him Tony.
Was that on 8mm?
No, it was a VHS.
Oh, okay.
This guy, we used to call him, he was an open micer. We used to call him Tony fucking Medeiros because every word out of his mouth was fucking, right? He was recording. He was laughing at my set while he was recording.
Oh,
And this was the old cameras. So as he's laughing, he's going, the videotape is wavy. Like, if you watch it back, it's hilarious because the videotape is all squiggly when you're watching it back while he's laughing. I got to dig it out and digitize it because it's so funny.
The Santarelli story that I told was Cal's camera. I borrowed Cal's camera because I needed to make a tape to send to Oliver up in Portland to do up there. So I'm doing the Calhoun.
Yeah.
And I forgot who the opener was, but I was featuring, and Frank Santarelli is closing the show. So
Say no more.
I
can already tell where this is going, right?
I set up two shows Saturday night, tape them both. Sunday, I'm watching, And the first show was okay. Yep. Watching the second show, and it's like lightning in a bottle, like you talk about. Yep. Crowd's great. They're not they're just laughing and they're loud. And I'm like 5 minutes into my 20-minute set, and I'm like, this is perfect. All of a sudden in the screen, you just see Santarelli's head come up in the middle of the screen, and he just starts shaking it from side to side, and he's going, they're not buying any of this shit. And he just slowly goes back down out of the way. And it's right in the middle of like a punchline and a big laugh. And I'm like, but if I edit this out, they'll see the edit. Yeah. So I just sent it to Oliver and left Frank in it.
Yeah. Well, that's good though. Actually, that's a good move.
It worked.
And it worked because he calls me and he goes, I couldn't stop laughing. He goes, and I figured if Frank likes this guy, he must be okay. And I got the gig.
Awesome. Yeah. That's a great story.
If Frank's busting his balls, then he's going to be okay.
And I think I still have that in a box. I just don't have a VCR to check. I want to buy a VCR just to look through
these. I think I might have one in the other room because
I would love to find that.
Clips.
Yeah, Frank would. And that's Frank.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Frank. That would be on the Tonight Show. Frank would come up behind the curtain. Not buying it.
Well, he did it on the podcast when we were talking to Tony V. We're at Giggles.
Oh my God!
Yeah. And we're in the Giggles room. They're doing a benefit on the other side, you know. Yep. And he just comes walking in and comes over, starts talking to us, and just walks back.
And then walks back. I gotta go back and do the show.
I gotta give this guy my intro.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
My intro.
Hey, the Sopranos are back on.
I know it's going to be a huge bump for
Frank's
him.
Frank's going to go from $10 to $20 on those pictures. Frank, if you're listening, you know I love you.
We all love
the mimeographed pictures.
I'm happy for him.
Good for him.
He's going to be rolling them out pretty soon. Yeah. On the mimeograph machine.
First thing I said to my wife, I go, Steph, Frank's very excited. He's going to up it at least to $20.
I don't know if you know. No, 25. It's the 25th anniversary.
That's true too, Ace. That's even better.
This is an anniversary edition headshot. It's from me 25 years ago.
Me with Ralphie.
Yeah. It's from me 25 years ago.
It's funny how we all love Frank.
Everyone does a Frank impression, right?
I know. Frank.
Yeah.
And he loves him too.
Absolutely.
I've told him that story. He loves it. Loves it.
The best one is when after a show, I did some one at night. He told me, I think, was it Jackie Flynn might have done it the first time? He's going to sell his pictures. And he goes, it was kind of quiet. And all of a sudden Jackie goes, oh, let's make one line, people. Let's make one line. Let's not get crazy. Instead of Frank telling, it's hysterical. There's plenty of pictures here. Don't make a rush. People will get hurt.
Security.
Yeah.
Get over here. Please.
Need some crowd control.
Yeah. But that one. And then, so I never sold things at shows. But the other one, Rhode Island guy, you know, Ed Regime.
Oh, yeah.
Eddie. I'll never forget Ed
the marbles. Machine.
With the marbles.
Marbles,
Ed
He sold marbles?
He used to sell marbles because
he had a bit about
it. It was about, you know what? It was actually, I think it predated Jeff Foxworthy's.
Oh, really?
Or who's the one that said, here's your sign?
Bill Engvall.
Bill Engvall. I think it predated him because it was basically talking about idiots. And he goes, you know what? He goes, I'm going to carry around marbles. And I'm going to give them a marble every time they act like an idiot. And they're not going to know. Here's your marble. And so he would sell marbles at the end of the show.
The first time I saw him.
A bag of marbles.
In the back. I go,
what are you selling, Ed?
He goes, marbles. Mike Cox, he goes, yeah, selling marbles. I go, is anyone buying them? No. But I used to love that. I'm like, look at him. He's sitting there with marbles.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Hey, merch.
Yeah.
Merch, baby.
Is merch. Why not?
Merch.
Look, fucking Cal Verducci had Muppets doing unnatural acts on a t-shirt.
Did he really?
I don't know how Jim Henson Company didn't come after him.
He did an impression of Miss Piggy going down on Kermit. So he had a t-shirt of Kermit sitting in a chair with his head back, Miss Piggy with her head between his lap, and above it, it said, tastes like chicken.
Oh, jeez.
How did Jim Henson Company not find that?
Well, how many is he selling at the Chuckle Hut in Iowa? Seriously.
Well, you never know. Well, go pick.
Oh, he probably sold a lot.
There.
Yeah. Well, no, they're upset that he was insulting the pig in that.
Yeah.
Just a wacky business we're in.
Oh, it's insanity. So, we got a lot of new and different listeners since the last time we talked to you, Brad. Yeah. How many years total have you been doing stand-up?
Let's see, 91. I saw, 32?
Yeah.
32-ish, 33? Yeah. Wow, old man. I'll be dead soon.
Yeah. No.
We all say that, and we just keep going along.
It's funny. I'm going to be 60 in March.
Wow.
But I look good.
Yeah, of course.
But I love when people say, and I'm sorry that I'm doing a bit here, but it's true. When you ask someone how old they are, they go, you know, on my next birthday, I'm like, I asked for your age, not a math quiz.
Yeah. Yes. Right. On my next, on my birthday, next I'll birthday, I'll be, yeah.
And why do, when did people start going, I'm 59 years young?
Yeah. You're not.
No.
Young has gone way back.
Yes.
Yeah. Just embrace it. It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fine.
You know what it is?
Be
it's
proud.
It's almost like a little kid when they say, I'm 4 and a half. Yeah.
They could do it.
Yeah. We're not supposed to.
You know,
I'm 55 and a half.
They could all lovers of, you know, how old are you? What do you think I am?
Yeah.
Now you're going to get it.
Well, that's a loaded question.
No.
And you deserve whatever you get now.
I say that now.
Not for Ace.
And I say that now.
Not for Ace, because if I'm talking to women. Yeah, his next birthday, he's going to be 72. and he looks 33.
I did a private gig last night, and there's this girl there that she's been like a local waitress at a couple of different restaurants that I've been to. And I've had a crush on this girl. I don't even know how old she is until last night I found out.
Got creepy.
Yeah, no.
Just got real creepy.
I go, how old are you?
Right,
yeah, I felt that.
I go, how old? She's legal. Okay. I go, how old are you?
That doesn't make it better.
She goes, how old do you think I am? I go, look, I just want to cut to the chase and see if you have daddy issues. That's all. The whole crowd went nuts and they were cheering her on.
Oh,
she's
my.
She's 28. God. She's 28.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, no. I have a daughter older than that.
Yeah, well, I got a daughter that's 8 years younger, so I'm just saying.
It doesn't matter. It's all about the love.
That's right.
The numbers.
Listen, look at Anna Nicole Smith. She fell in love.
She was all love.
It was all love. I'm no oil tycoon, but, you know.
When my daughters were in high school, they asked me one time, you know, God forbid you and Mom weren't together anymore, would you ever date a younger woman? And I said, well, let's put it this way. She would be young enough that you'd have to babysit her.
Oh, but I'm the creep. You said that to your daughter.
And how long have they been in therapy?
Yeah, right?
Hey.
Wow. Well, she's honest, though. You got to be honest.
Therapy is cheaper than college.
You got that right.
It was a lot cheaper than college. Yeah.
You got that right. Ooh. I'm paying for that right. Oh, my daughter's a junior now.
Oh, wow.
Oh, so you're on your third mortgage.
Mm, oh, boy. No, I say that. She got a full scholarship.
Oh, oh awesome.
Really? Yeah, nice. My wife and I are providing it. That's the scholarship.
Oh. Oh my God, I fell for that too. I was like, you lucky bastard.
It's from the from the Mestrangelo fund.
It's good fun.
Oh, I can't believe I fell for that. I'm like, son of a bitch.
I was impressed for a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that. No. I know that feeling.
Well, she get aid, you know, grants and stuff.
Yeah, like yeah.
It's funny now, my brother, his daughter's next year she'll go to college, and he says to me, you know, I just like her to find a college that's under like 50 grand a year. I'm like, excuse me? A college that's under 50?
It's called community college.
Yeah.
Or state college.
Yeah.
Preschool.
It's, right.
It's great. My brother-in-law is going through that right now because my niece is graduating this year.
Yep.
And, you know, she got accepted into these four different colleges. Mm-hmm. None of them that she got accepted to are under $60,000 a year.
Oh, no. That's,
not one of them.
No way. That's,
and that's the thing. When my oldest daughter, she was in community college. Yep. She was going to transfer and go for business.
Yep.
When she, after a year and a half, was like, I don't want to do this. I don't like it. I don't think that's what I want to do. Yeah. I said, then drop out.
Yeah.
You don't have to. I said, listen, you want to go to plumbing school or electrical school? I'll send you there. You want to do
art? Make a shit ton of money doing that.
Yeah. Whatever is going to make you happy. I got a niece who literally went, you know, $100,000 worth of debt to be a school teacher.
Yeah.
My advice to my kids is when you're going and looking at careers, mm-hmm. make sure the career that you're going for is worth
what you're going to be paying back.
Yeah. Exactly. You don't want to be working your first 10 to 15 years to pay your student loans.
Right. You want a job that pays like comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at
us. You want to get $25 a spot.
You go to clown school.
That's right.
No, but it's true. And luckily, we started, you know, saving early. I think the night of conception, we started saving.
Yeah.
I had the accountant.
Oh, you started too late.
I had the accountant on the phone. I go, I think it's a go.
I think it.
If you started at conception, you started too late.
But you got to. And so thankfully, we did. So
yeah,
it's good, but yeah, it's insane. It's, mm-hmm. and it ain't getting cheaper. It just keeps going up. And
thank God,
it's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy. I was crying then. But
we're supposed to be.
We talk about life.
Depressing.
Talk
shit
about
now.
Life.
Oh,
So you got to do a lot of gigs to contribute to that scholarship fund.
He's got a day job like us.
I'm like such a weird comic. I don't drink. I don't do drugs. And I work during the day. It's very
strange.
I've been cleaning carpets for like 35 years. But I would get bored. And people might say, "Oh, it's a cop out. You didn't want to go for it." I'm like, "I'm not a cop out.
No,
it's what I do now, and I enjoy it."
In '91, when you decided to do comedy for the first time, were you working during the day then?
Oh yeah.
What were you doing at that time?
That's when I was at the prison. I was a counselor.
Okay, you're a counselor at the prison. Yeah. What drew you to trying stand up for the first time?
A dare. My friends dared me to do it.
See, it's
wanted to be a comedian in my life. Never thought about it. No,
yeah, I never followed it when you were younger.
I like to laugh. Right. But I was funny as a kid, but not. I was an athlete. Even through college, I'm such an anti-comedian.
Were you a fan of stand-up?
Well, I loved
it. Not just in general, because everybody likes a stand-up, but were you like, oh, I love watching this guy or listening to...
I used to love John Rickles. Chuckle being old. But like, I did. I loved to laugh and I loved... So, but never thought about... So you were dared.
How did you prepare to go up there on a dare? Did you just wing it, or did you actually prepare something?
It's funny. Remember, not that I need it now, but the Cy Sperling, the bald.
Yes,
had one of those things with a hat on. I remember, and I took it off because the commercial was everywhere.
Yes, right.
And then I was just talking about just family stuff.
Yeah,
just, you know, growing up, getting whacked around and stuff like that. Yeah, and honest to God, it was. I wasn't even nervous because I was like, I'm going to do this once, make a complete ass of myself.
Yeah, you
and
just
never, all laugh about it 20 years.
No one will ever see me again.
I have to say, I was not really
petrified. Right.
Because
it's different than someone that's trying to because really they want to do this and it's a dream and stuff like that. Yeah. But how did that first time go?
That went great. I mean, they were
probably because you weren't nervous.
No, it's true. And then Dominic Ventry, God rest his soul, took me back
from Nick's.
And he says, "How long have you been doing this?" I says, 5 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
That's a great answer.
And he goes, "No," he goes, "I think you should think about doing this." I said, "I think you're high." I said, "This was a joke, dude."
Really?
And he convinced me to. Stitches had some comedy competition or something.
Yeah. Yep.
And I went in one night, and then I won that night. That was the second time I was on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And then even still, I said, then it was. So I said they were going to pay me. Like, we'll give you $25. I says, "What?" What the hell? All right. And that's how it happened.
Wow.
That's really how it happened. And I mean, I love it. It's great.
Yeah, and once you got into
it. Yeah, it's so much. We've all got so many great experiences from it.
Yeah.
And like you say, it's got people that we all know, people that they want it so bad, you know. And it's tough. It's not an easy business.
I think that's tough because you learn very quickly. If you're taking it seriously and really trying to do something with it, man, it squashes you down pretty quick at times.
You got to have
a thick skin and you got to be willing to take those. And Ace and I talk about it all the time. The great thing about this is, all right, I don't have a special on Netflix or HBO, but I get to stand on stage and do the same thing all those guys do every weekend.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, I get to make people laugh, which is the greatest job ever.
I've been around the world.
Right.
And be able to take my family. I never in a million years thought.
Look at the experiences you've had because of comedy. Right.
And nothing gets me more crazy. Someone will say, "Brad, like, when are you going to make it?" Like I made.
As far as I'm concerned, I did.
I got a wonderful wife, a beautiful daughter.
Right.
I have savings.
Yeah.
What's the definition of
making it? Listen, we talked to some comics during the pandemic, and they were like, I've pretty much blown through all my savings.
I'm broke.
Yeah.
I'm broke. Like, as soon as they came out of, you know, and I think I tweaked the nerve with Rick Adana when I go, my retirement plan, I can retire from my day job 5 to 7 years, and then I want to move down south, and I want to do cruise ships.
That was Al Romas.
Al
Romas.
He goes, great. Nice. Yeah. Your retirement plan is my life. Yeah,
but it's true.
So
we all know comics that just never thought the gravy train was going to end.
Yeah, and it ended.
And
I mean, some of the that's the thing that makes me sad is when, you know, I don't book that much.
Yeah,
I book a couple of fun. You know, I book my Funny for Fun shows, which are, you know, certain certain shows. And then I got like my Royal Flush shows. I don't even do that often. Right. I haven't even, you know, I'm trying to
you
find a new.
Doing, did you start doing
I started
them?
Doing them last year. Yeah. And then a couple of the venues, you know, one, it didn't work out. One, yeah. the venue closed. So now I'm kind of like, I need to find some more venues to do it in.
We've been trying to figure out a place to do it because it's a great show and a great lineup.
You did it down at the casino a long time ago. And it is. It's a great professional show. But I get guys that I used to open up for that are like, hey, please keep me in mind if you're, you know, booking shows. And I'm like, this is someone who used to like sell out the connection five times a year constantly, you know, and they're
a lot.
I'm sorry, but when, when I think back to Ronnie Sava saying, you know, Ace, you're not a real comic because you have a day job.
Oh, God. Yeah. I've got.
And I'm also not busting your balls for the check that I need.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, three weeks later.
Three of us, we work. Yeah. You know, like Paul Gilligan.
Has a very
successful electrician.
Yep.
You can do it both.
Right.
You know, I mean, people hate me, but if you're funny, you're funny. And if you're not, you're not.
Exactly.
End of story.
That's it. It's not rocket science.
And I didn't get up on stage to become famous.
No.
Was there a point where I wanted to?
Absolutely.
Everybody would like to be.
But that's not the reason why I got into it.
No.
I just wanted to make people laugh.
Yeah.
That's it. I like ego. I like the attention of making people laugh. I loved going into a room last night. It was a back room for a holiday party because it's for a restaurant and a cigar bar. All their staff, they took them out. Me and Brad Pierce, we were supposed to do a half hour. We did 50 minutes. We were having so much fun. Yeah. That's why I do it. I don't give a shit. Listen, I love Bill Burr. Worked with him a bunch of times when he was coming up.
Thrilled for him.
I'm so fucking happy. I'm not jealous at all.
He put the work in. He deserves it.
But I love the fact that he's doing good and I can say, I worked with that guy. Do I say I'm best friends with him? No.
But I know him.
And if you said to him, oh, you know Ace Aceto, he'd say, yeah, of course. But I still get to do the same job he gets to do. Right.
Louis C.K. said it on that Talking Funny special on HBO.
Yeah.
It was him, Ricky Gervais, Jerry Seinfeld, and Chris Rock. They were just discussing comedy.
Yep. Yeah.
And Louis C.K. said, when I was coming up in Boston, there were these guys like Don Gavin and Steve Sweeney.
Yeah.
And he goes, and they could just walk on any stage anywhere and just destroy a crowd.
Right.
And when I decided to do comedy, he goes, they were like the Mount Olympus of comedy in that area.
Oh, yeah.
I just wanted to be one of those guys. It wasn't about being famous and rich.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to be one of those guys. That's all it was about for me, was to be able to just be that funny.
Right. I don't really know him, but remember the little fiasco we had?
Fiasco, that's a way to wrap it up.
I got a great, if I could say it, Lenny Clark.
Go ahead.
So that thing was, you know, and he showed up at Giggles one
night. At Giggles,
To a spot. I was there, Lenny was there. So Lenny was hosting. And so he brings up Louis C.K. and he does whatever. And he kind of brought up a little bit about stuff, which I'm like, ooh. He gets off. Lenny goes back. Come on, Louis C.K. He said, for Christ's sakes, who was that young kid in the hotel room? Come on, for God's sake. It was the funniest freaking thing. We and Mike were in the back. I said, I'm so glad I'm here tonight just to hear that. Who was that other young chick in the hotel room? What are you people, nuts? it was just perfect.
He has no filter.
Lenny is the guy that can say anything on stage, get away with it, and make it funny.
Yep. Yes.
I've talked about the night I had him at the Bradley saying stuff that if I said, and that's like home field for me, they would cancel me there.
Yeah,
but he gets up there and he gets a standing ovation.
Yeah.
Well, he's just such a likable guy.
Exactly.
That's the thing. You know,
he, like Noxie, God rest his soul.
He was the same.
A likable guy.
Yeah, you know? he's like that crazy uncle that everyone loves and loves hanging out
with. Because you know he's not trying to be malicious.
No, exactly.
He's just and he always sounds like he's exasperated.
Yeah.
About whatever it is he's talking about. I can't fucking believe it.
I love if someone's talking or something during the show and he just...
Oh, does he?
Oh, it's so fun.
Yeah.
It's like I'm living through his... I want to...
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I had one guy. You'll like to say. I was at Giggles a while ago. And this small crowd, very, very nice.
Yeah.
And this guy kept wanting to be part of the show. And I'm just like, I'm not in that mood. I had some bad news earlier today. Nothing horrible.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just shut the fuck up. So I just went off on this. I mean, I just, He thinks the girl is with her sister. We're from New Jersey. I said, I don't know. I can smell you. And and so she finds me. Afterwards, the guy comes over to me. I says, get away from me.
Yeah.
That's not the time. Just get away from me. And he's, and now the sister comes over. And I says, okay. I says, your last chance. Get. And I remember Guido. We're talking about Boston Guido. He's holding me back.
Yeah.
So now, long story short, the girl finds me on Facebook. And she, my brother is bipolar. I says, well, I'm sorry. How would I know that?
Right, exactly. All I know is he's an asshole yelling shit out. Right.
The whole night he was doing it, and I just put a stop to it. I said, I'm very sorry that he's bipolar.
Right.
She goes, well, I
don't take him to a comedy show.
I didn't mean to do that, but I had to do something. So don't be throwing this bipolar shit at me.
Right.
I said, I have hemorrhoids. I mean, I'm not up there talking to you about it. What the, you know, Jesus Christ. I've got IBS, all kinds of shit going on in my body. But and she's like, well, okay, I guess you're right. And I go, okay, leave me alone. And she keeps texting me. Well, where are you going to be somewhere else? I quit the show. I quit comedy
because of your bipolar brother.
Bipolar brother fucked everything up for me. Are you happy? Matter of fact, I'm talking. Look, I have six personalities now. I got to go talk to three of them. So it's just, you don't know. But
no, how the hell are you supposed to know? That's right.
Become like a bipolar. All right,
yeah.
Good for him.
That's the thing nowadays is you could say anything. Like I got 200 people in the audience, and I might say something that might rub you the wrong way.
Oh, it's sickening. It's sickening. And I just want to get back to and not even being abusive to someone. Not,
right.
No, and just
being real
lighthearted.
I don't think any of us do anything that rubs people the wrong way.
I say it all the time. I go, look, I love everybody. I really do. Straight. Life is too short.
Right.
I go, look at the new ones, the translucent people. I love those people. I says, I can see right through you, but I love you.
Ah, great line.
So you just get back and laugh. Yep.
Now, you know, a lot of guys that came out of Boston and moved on, like Joe Rogan's talked about on his podcast, Greg Fitzsimmons, they talk about how the Boston comedy community, how fast you got to be to work in this area and stuff like that. And you've mentioned it several times tonight about dealing with the crowds and having to be ready to come back. And then once you get outside this area, you know, it's so different. Now, you've done comedy in a lot of places. Yeah. You find that same thing?
Oh, yeah. Boston's definitely.
Did you find that you had to slow it down? Like when you're doing cruises, because you're like me, we talk fast. Yep. So
you do.
I found when I would go down south and I'm talking fast, I'm like, why aren't I getting a laugh there? Oh, because they're not following it.
Right. Exactly.
I got to slow it down.
Yep. No, we all.
You find you got to do the same thing.
And I definitely,
especially on the cruise ships,
because you get all over the
pace yourself differently,
and it's actually, I don't know about you, but it's more a little bit more relaxing when you kind of realize, okay, I got to slow it down.
Yeah,
and you do, you take your time, but then maybe there's a late show you can kind of get a little more. Because the people in the south, they're very slow.
You know,
we can't expect them to do too much.
Yeah.
Look, I'm in Rhode Island. This is south to me.
Yeah. Can you slow that down? I didn't hear. I didn't follow.
This is redneck New England, right? Yeah.
But it is. That's what I love about the cruise ships, the diversity of people in this country.
Yeah.
I have learned so much about people
and
stereotypes and who's what.
Stereotypes are stereotypes for a reason.
Thank you, Scott.
There's a kernel of truth. Yes. There's a kernel of truth.
No one just threw it out there. Something.
Yeah, right. They didn't just make it up off the top of their head.
Something happened.
Someone set the precedent.
And
took it off from
I hate to say it, but if I'm driving on the highway and someone's in the high-speed lane going 12 miles an hour.
Yeah, say no more.
I know.
No, it's say true.
No as I more. Go by, I go, I'm not surprised.
And wear it as a badge of honor.
Exactly.
Hey, it is what it is.
Speaking of that, I can solve road rage. I did tonight. A guy cut me off. I was all ready to flip him off, and it had student driver.
Sticking.
So I say if we all put student driver stickers,
then we'll calm the fuck down. That's a great idea.
Everyone will be happy.
I got two in the garage.
You can't get pissed off at a student driver. You can't do it.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, one time I drove up, I go, where the hell did you learn to drive? And it was right there. It was on the car.
Question and answer.
Yeah. But I'm just throwing that out there. Yeah, that's a good idea. It might settle people down. I'm here to help people.
Now, in 32 years, what are some moments when you look back, you're like, oh my God, I can't believe I got to do that. Or like somebody you got to work with that was like a dream type of moment. We call them wow moments. But
I think for me, it was Comics Come Home.
Yeah.
That had to be huge. I love watching those. Yeah, I love the lineups.
Yeah, that was cool.
Now, who was on with you when you did yours?
Oh, that's Billy Burr, Bobby Kelly.
Love Bobby Kelly.
Patrice.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Stephen Wright. Gav was on. Noxy.
Oh, shit.
Well, they, the guys from Aerosmith came in to play with Dennis. On
really?
Stage. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
that must have been amazing backstage.
This was at the Aganis. It was like 7,000 people.
Yeah.
And Dennis was good. He went first. People say, oh, God. But it was good because he really set the tone.
Yeah.
And it was, it was magical. It was wow. really,
that had to be so surreal.
It was really cool. I remember getting out there going, oh, boy, I'm not at Giggles anymore. This is.
I was going to say, is that the largest crowd you've ever been in front of?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, 7,000? 7,000, yeah. And it was really good. I remember starting the show, was at BU, and I said, I applied to BU, and I got rejected. And I looked, I go, so fuck you. Yeah. Now you're paying me.
Yeah.
Which you don't get paid. I mean,
right.
But yeah, that was
that's
probably
awesome.
I think still to this day, really, really cool.
Yeah. That's a cool moment.
Yeah, yeah, that was. Got the stay of the Charles Hotel. And the night before, I get in the room, and there's these beautiful gift baskets.
Yeah.
I'll never forget. I call my wife. I go, honey, I think they gave me the wrong room.
Yeah.
She goes, why? I go, these gift baskets. She goes, it's for you, you idiot.
Haven't you ever heard of the Oscars? Like, they do the same
shit, right?
This is me on Symphony.
I'm like, you can't even give yourself any credit.
I can't.
Honey, there's beef jerky in here.
There's all kinds of good stuff.
This can't be for me.
That's exactly how a comic thinks. This can't be for me.
No, because we're used to being told you can't have the steak on the menu at the goddamn comedy club.
The rules on the wall in the comedy club. Only the headliner gets free drinks. Everybody else must pay.
Speaking of that, this weekend I was at Wicked Funny.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so Chris Slayer, they had the buffets back, I guess.
Yeah.
So, and someone I was working with said, oh, can we eat? He goes, yeah, you can eat anything except for the prime rib and the king crab.
Yep.
Because two comics, so we nameless, they screwed up. I guess they went in and they took so much, and then they decided to put it in bags to bring home.
Oh, my God.
See, it always happens.
You know, yeah.
Of course. It always happens. One or two
and
idiots.
When I tell you the names afterwards, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. it's like, seriously.
What? Cybell passed away.
Yeah, I know, but he lives
on. He would have done that. He would have done that.
Bobby, I would have helped him. That's how much we love Bob.
I know. I love Bob.
Well, I watched.
Who is on there?
I watched the late great Annette Pollock.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow.
We were doing a show with a buffet, and her boyfriend Brian opened up her gigantic purse and took out Tupperware containers and started filling them and putting them back in her purse.
Brian, get me the roast beef.
Brad, sweetheart, how many people you got coming to the show?
I'm like, she's the female Vinny Favorito.
Yes. That's a perfect
example. Is he back? I see him doing shows in Boston recently.
I haven't seen him forever. But I did see it on Facebook.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
So maybe. I don't know.
And listen, I don't think the IRS is listening to this podcast. So I think
tomorrow you see on Facebook he gets arrested.
Yeah, right? No shit.
You know, he never listened to them.
Yeah, right. That's why he went to Vegas, right?
Oh, that's a perfect place.
Yeah, right.
Oh, God. Jesus. He used to teach a class.
Yeah.
I remember when I was first starting, he would call, I think you could benefit from my class. I go, why? To tell people they're fat in the front row?
Yeah.
What the hell am I going to pay? You want like $250.
Say it right. Yeah. I think you could benefit from my class.
Yeah, yeah. And look at, truth be told, Vinny was the best at what he
did.
Oh,
my God.
There was no one better. Yep. Nobody better.
He was one of the first guys from Boston on Comedy Central.
Was he?
He used to do that thing. How about these people that win on the radio? You won $100. What are you going to do? I think I'm going to buy a new car. And then I've been looking at this house in Dedham.
Oh, yeah. No.
Do you remember that joke?
Yes. Yeah. I did a show. We're starting out with this bikey bar somewhere in New Hampshire. It was all these bikes. So I go on first, obviously. And they were nice. They were good group. So I'm leaving. I'm going home. He's like, wait, where you going, dude? I said, I'm going home. He goes, well, why don't you stick around? I go, well, I'm going home. He goes, yeah, but what if something happens? I go,
what's going to happen?
I've taken many a punches in my life. I'm not taking nothing for you.
Right.
I said, just don't pick on people.
Right.
Just be funny. That's all. He goes, no, be funny to stay around. Yeah, I am really? Not here. I'm going home. Jesus.
Yeah, no, we actually had one of his students on here.
Did you?
I don't know if you remember. Darren LaCroix.
Oh, I remember that name. Darren LaCroix. I do remember the name, yes.
He was a comic, did comedy for a little bit. He admittedly said he wasn't that good. And
which is a rarity.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but he made up for it.
Way better. Yeah. I'll show you the course that I paid for from him. He became like a world famous public speaker.
Oh, wow.
And now he teaches people how to inject humor into their speeches. Mainly because, think about it, when you're a comic, you're going to get a laugh every 20 seconds. Right. When you're a public speaker, if you get a laugh every 10 to 15 minutes, you're a rock star.
That's he won the world championship of public speaking.
Did he?
Yeah. When you go to his website, it's a picture of him kneeling on side of his Mercedes convertible where he lives in Las Vegas. He's doing
He's doing okay.
That's awesome.
But when we had him on the show a couple of years ago, he talked about taking Vinny's class. And the best advice he said that Vinny gave him was stage time, stage time, stage time. Yeah. Get on stage as many times
as
you can.
That's the best learning, as you know.
It really is.
We all did it.
That's the only way. That's the only way to learn. And you mentioned it earlier about how, you know, you haven't been to an open mic in a while, but you've been, you know, you went to one and worked it out. We've done the same thing over the past couple of years, because I'm like, you know what, instead of trying out some new stuff in between some established stuff at shows, why don't I just try and go and work it out at an open mic?
If
I
could
go, I would.
Yeah, there was one summer, him and I just, like, once a week over the course of a month, we dropped in at a couple open mics. Well, and just and we were like, okay, we're just going to do new stuff.
Yeah.
Just go up there and do new stuff and see how we do and work on stuff and give each other feedback.
Now, is there a lot of open, because it wasn't a lot that we were going on. Yeah.
There's a lot less nowadays.
Yeah, lot,
and
yeah.
most of them are bar shows. I mean, I remember when I started, Monday night, you know, Faneuil Hall had four nights a week of...
clubs aren't doing it as much.
Like, Monday night was Noxie's open mic, and then you got bumped up to, like, Tuesday, Wednesday nights, you could do a seven-minute spot instead of a five-minute spot, you know, for those shows. Yep. But, you know, you could get... There were so many clubs and places.
When I started, Nick's Monday night Billy Martin show, there was line around the door.
Yes.
For an open mic. Insane.
And that's what I talk about. Like Monday night, Knox's show, 100 people in the audience.
Oh, easily. Yeah, it was
totally different. And then we'd leave there and go over to, there was another show in Somerville we used to do, you know, on Monday night, so we could double up on a Monday night.
Yeah. There was a lot to do.
And nowadays, there's like one or two of these bar shows around during the week, and it's mostly comics hanging out, watching the sets of all the comics.
He was telling me, the other night I was working with Chris Penny.
Yeah.
Yes.
He was telling me this new thing, pop-up shows?
Oh, yes. Don't tell comics, comedy?
Like
I don't get it.
He says,
I don't get it.
They might give you $20, $25.
Right.
And I guess they just kind of announce it real quick.
And see who shows up.
So for the public, they join like an email list.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, hey, pop-up comedy show going on tonight at, you know, some warehouse or whatever.
Right.
It's usually not at like a place where you would normally do comedy.
Yeah.
And they pop up, but... Yeah, that's what I've heard, is they don't really pay anything, so it's another showcase, and I get it, but at least...
that'd be a hard no for me.
But no, for us, No, but I mean, like, when we were talking before we went on the air about how, you know, a lot of legitimate bookers are kind of getting frustrated because you've got, and I get it, because open micers and new people want stage time.
Right.
But nowadays, they think that because they've been doing comedy for 2 years, they're going to start producing their own shows. And instead of producing them for what they are, a $10 showcase, they put a $20 or $25 price tag on it, get someone who is a opener at a club to be the headliner.
Oh, yeah. I see that so much
now. I do
too.
And that's the frustrating thing, is that is ruining it, because... Not because we're not getting the work.
No.
It's because there are people out there who that's their first experience at a comedy show.
Exactly.
They just paid $20 or $25 to see a bunch of open micers and newer comics with a headliner who's an opener at a club. And that's their impression of stand-up comedy. It's like when you went into the Bradley.
I was just going to say, that's the first time I went to the Bradley in 2014. Because this year is our 10th year of doing shows there. But the first time I went there, they're like, we tried stand-up. It doesn't work here. I'm like, this is an old vaudeville theater. How can stand-up not work here?
Yeah.
And I found out that somebody approached them, brought up stand-up, and they're like, oh, yeah, we definitely should do stand-up. Mm-hmm. And it was this group of open mic guys. They went in and they sold 250 tickets that night, and these guys went up there and did raunchy, dirty humor. People were leaving asking
to a theater crowd, because especially at a theater,
people were asking for money back and complaining, and they said, "Yeah, stand up's not for us." And
no, it is if they do it the right way, you idiot.
Right. And I sit there and said, "Listen, that's not what I what I'm going to bring here. I'll show you videos of the guys I want to bring. They know how to work a theater."
Yep.
And I went through a lot to get that first show. And once we did that first show and it went okay, they let me do a second one. We did it the same way. And then after the second one, they said, "You don't have to show us any more comics. Just book it."
No, that's right.
And then we got it
then
rolling.
He built the trust.
I mean, look, when we were starting, I'm sure we would never work a weekend until you were ready to work a weekend.
No, that's the thing.
You had to prove yourself.
And that's we were talking about it. Here in Rhode Island, because I'll never forget, Charlie Hall pulled me aside when I first started. He said, "Look, you're starting to do really well at open mic nights and stuff like that." He said, "And the temptation is to go to Boston because that's the big, the big pond." He goes, "I'm telling you, wait.
Right.
Go to Boston after you've established yourself here because now you're going to be that much better than the guys who are just starting in Boston." And it was,
I agree.
So I didn't go to Boston until 91. I started in 89. Okay. I waited 2 years, but down at Periwinkle's, Wednesday night was open mic night.
Yeah.
Thursday night was college showcase night, hosted by Cato and Morin.
Oh, yeah.
Remember Cato and Morin?
Yeah.
And then, so if you did good on open mic night, you got to be on the showcase night.
Yep.
I think they paid like $20 or something like that. Then you had to wait and you had to earn your spot to become an opener for the weekend.
Yep.
Or you got to open for Frank Santos on a Sunday.
Yep.
Then you got the weekends and you worked your way up.
Progression.
It was a progression. But now the problem is they do open mics for a couple of years and now they're booking theaters and they're booking, you know, their own big shows with other people who are at their level.
Right.
And
it's not a show.
No.
No, it's not a show.
It's not a professional show.
No.
And you're not there yet.
Look,
you haven't paid your dues.
I've had to do it. You'll show up at some shows and you know me, I'm not egotistical.
Yeah,
at all.
No.
But you'll watch the people go on in front of you, and you just, wait a minute. Now I want an extra pay for taking the crowd out of a coma.
Yeah,
can I get that, please? Because and
or,
not in their fault, they shouldn't be in that position yet.
They shouldn't be on that show.
No.
I've had people reaching out to me recently who I met at an open mic or met them at something, and they're like, "Hey, you know, I'd love to get on one of your Royal Flush shows." My Royal Flush show.
Yeah,
is
really good.
Three headliners. It's me and two other headliners, and then someone who's a very, very strong feature, almost a headliner, literally doing 10 to 15 minutes.
Right, yeah.
And then the only new spot is a 5 to 7 minute set.
Yeah.
But it can't be an open mic. That has to be someone who is either starting to feature or a really strong host.
Or comfortable. They're comfortable on stage. You know, and it's a great show, and that's what to do. That's how you know how to do it.
And then they're like, "Well, I could be on that," and I'm like, "I'm not trying to be an asshole. I have never seen you crush.
No,
I want to see you crush.
I'm a little more harsh than he is when people reach out to me. I go, "No, you can't be on this show.
Well,
you're not ready.
There's no,
you're not ready."
I respect Mike Clark. I mean, you know, we're very good friends, but Mike for years will be honest with someone, and then when they're ready, then he'll, you know, but. Yeah, some guys just go, "You open Friday? Okay, I'll give you $20. And I had
someone reach out to me not too long ago that was booking a show at a theater.
Uh-huh.
And they offered me $50 to come do a spot on their theater show.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, "It's a theater?"
Yeah.
And they're like, "Yeah, a Saturday night theater show." And I'm like, "Yeah, I don't do Saturday nights for $50. I appreciate you thinking of me, but thank you.
Lose my number.
And then I see them post a lineup, and there isn't a person there that's made more than $50 on a show ever. And I'm like, "This is what you're putting out for a theater show?
Yeah.
Good luck."
That's what happens.
Good luck.
They don't look at the big picture.
Right. You know, it's...
Look, when people are leaving the show after the first guy, it's not a good sign.
Yeah.
It's not a good sign.
Right.
You know, the third guy comes out and there's 20 people left in the crowd. It's not a good sign.
Right.
It's, you know, and the thing is Ace has said it before, and he said it tonight too. We're not just picking on them. It's bad for comedy in general.
Yep. Right.
Yeah.
It's just bad for comedy shows.
And like you say, Ace said it. If someone's going for the first time And this is their impression. They're going to walk out going, that sucked. I'm not coming back.
Local, because I've had because that before where I'm like, hey, I'm doing a show. You know, I'm booking a show at the Bradley. You guys should come. I've been to comedy before. Yeah.
And that's exactly it. No, you haven't been to comedy.
No, you. No. Yeah, exactly. You haven't been. You haven't comedy. Seen a real comedy. No.
Because what happens is, and again, it's not, I don't want to sound like an asshole, but if you've been doing
you
comedy.
You are bashing right now.
So but if just, you're doing just, comedy from 2 to 4 or 5 years, and you're producing a show where everyone else on the show is doing it for 2 to 5 years.
Or less.
Or less. You're not. You're making it so that people think down on local comics like us who have been around for 30-something years. And, you know, how isn't it funny when you walk off stage and someone goes, wow, this was a really good show. I wasn't expecting this. Right. You guys, how are you guys not famous? This is funnier than stuff I see on TV.
I know.
That's what you want people to walk out of your show.
Well, it's like any other business. You never start at the top. Or you can start and work your way up. Exactly. It's like a business, you know? But yeah, we've gotten away from it, unfortunately. I know we sound like we're bashing
old
people.
No, because
I'm really trying not to. I really do wish everyone the best.
My biggest compliment is on the Monday after one of my theater shows, when I go on and look at the next show and tickets are already sold for the next show 3 months later.
Right.
That's my best compliment. Yeah. And guess what I have to do every time I book a show? Raise my game because I got to keep it at that level.
Yeah. We should have a different show called The Suck Show. We'll get guys that suck and we'll pay them nothing and they can come.
Yes.
And they can suck.
That's an open mic.
No, let's get it worse than
no,
open mic.
Let's grab
people that have never done comedy. No,
let's see who can suck the worst.
That's what we should do. And then we'll pay them, and the other guys will be really pissed.
If you get laughs or claps, you didn't suck enough.
You didn't suck enough. We want people like walking.
Love that idea.
Let's go the other way.
Yeah.
How do you think you did? Nobody laughed. People shot themselves in the head. How do you think that is?
Guys are walking off stage going, oh, I can't believe I got claps on that one.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you and Metamucil, people shit themselves watching you. That's what you are. How's that?
Yeah. I love that concept. Welcome to the worst show you're ever going to see.
And we lock the doors. You can't leave.
Yes. Wait a minute. Yes. Isn't that the Gong Show?
No, this is worse. This is
worse than the Gong Show?
You guys remember the Gong Show?
Oh, yeah.
This is fucking worse than that. Wow. I'm Frank Santarelli. I'm hosting the worst show ever.
Frank would do it.
Of course he would.
Of course he would.
Come on stage, Frank. Go, hey, come here.
The only reason.
What the fuck was that? Listen, never come back here again. Matter of fact, die.
Yeah.
Just die. That was horrible.
It's perfect.
You know who I am? Frank Santarelli of The Sopranos.
Sopranos.
That's right.
Now, here's the picture. Get the fuck out.
Give me 25 bucks.
Frank would be the perfect. Oh, Frank,
yes.
You know how it is.
Yes.
Frank would be perfect.
I'm only doing this show because I'm getting a meal break.
The funny thing is, when you do the Frank impression, you have to do that. You have to make your mouth wide.
What, really wide?
I was on, I don't know if you heard this, but I was on Law & Order, Special Victims Unit. I played Frankie Ribisi, mobster. I was the enforcer for the Genovese family.
I did it in one goddamn take.
One take. No, when he tells the story about his audition for The Sopranos.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, yeah. And I'm supposed to be answering the phone. Hello? 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 And he goes, the audition's over. And I go, if I get this part, I think I'm going to need more lines. And he goes, dead silence. No one laughed. Oh. He goes, and then Georgette Walken, Christopher Walken's wife, was the casting director.
And then
she busted out laughing. Everyone else laughed. Honestly, we need to get Frank back on. We haven't had him on in a couple of years.
I'll be in hotels and TV and then Frank comes on.
Yeah.
A cruise ship.
Yes.
This Frank. This watch Frank. Tony V.
And you just start laughing.
Yep.
You just start laughing.
Well, I think Frank was in Ray Romano's movie.
Oh, was he?
Listen to this one.
Yeah.
So I was on a plane and there was the movie. And I saw Frank said that he was in it.
Yeah.
Movie opens. There's Frank, first picture, and I'm dying laughing because I love
him. Right.
And he's like with his wife, and long story short, the wife says during the show, he says, "Well, he thinks that's sexy when he acts English. He thinks that turns me on." So, last scene of the movie, there's Frank And they're at a function, and the wife says, "Okay, let's go home, Frank." And Frank goes, "Yeah, why don't we go home and shag?" Like, I laughed. Look at out loud on the plane. People are looking at me. I got my headphones on, pissing myself because I'm Frank. Yeah. And it was the funniest friggin' thing. I called her.
Because it's more of an inside joke to you.
Right. When we landed, I called her. I go, "You son of a bitch. I just embarrassed myself in the whole plane."
That's so funny.
Let's go home and shag. The English accent. It was perfect.
I think we should call this episode Brad Mastrangelo. I'm a huge Frank Santarelli
fan. Frank. Everybody is. Yeah. Everybody loves
Everyone loves Frank.
He,
I know.
He's the best storyteller there is.
Because he really is. And he doesn't mean to be funny.
No.
And then he'll bust balls and not break character.
Nope.
And then all of a sudden, he grimaces and he smiles.
Well, Gavin's like that. Gavin's great at that. And you are. You've known him for 25 years. And you walk in and you are. Look, don't go up there and suck. Okay. Oh no, the guys around, you know, the Ronald Blossom. The best part of the comedy around here is sitting back before the show starts with everybody
hanging out.
The hang is the best part.
I think I've said it before. One time I was hosting a show at the Connection in Faneuil Hall, and I think Ken Rogerson was on it. Yeah. Sweeney, Gavin. I think it was the one time I ever worked with Gavin. Believe it or not,
really,
like. Certain people, when I was working the Comedy Connection coming up in Providence, I always worked for, like, you know, Mike Donovan, Mike McDonald. I just lost it. Oh, Chance Langton, like Bill Campbell. Like, I worked with those guys all the time. Never worked with Gavin. Gavin was there all the time, too.
Really?
But this was the one time, and I'll never forget. I'm backstage, and I, you know, I'm nervous because this is like Boston royalty.
Yeah, yeah.
It's one of my first times meeting a couple of the guys. I had met Kenny, and I go, "What do you want me to say about you?" And he looks over at Sweeney and Gavin. He goes, "Tell him my name is, I don't know, Skippy, whatever it is, right? Tell him it's my first time on stage." And I'm a little nervous. And he goes up and fucking destroys.
Oh, yeah.
And comes off. And we're all laughing our asses off backstage because I'm like, oh, my God, I could imagine.
Brilliant.
Well, I think
brilliant.
I think, it might have been Frank again told me this about Gav introducing him. And he said, "This next guy uses puppets. He's a puppeteer." I think it was Frank. And all of a sudden, like, Frank's up there and they're going, "Where's the puppets?" Yeah, it's a great story. And 100%, it was Frank. I'm going, "What? He's a puppeteer."
Yeah.
And now people look at me to do puppets.
Waiting for puppets.
Doing jokes and they're waiting for puppets.
And they're waiting. Well, that's like Seisler, what you said Seisler used to have you intro.
Oh, Rich, one of the first hosting weekends I ever had when I first got bumped up to host finally was with Rich Seisler.
Oh, God.
And the first night, you know, all I wanted to do was get there.
Right.
Credits correct.
Right.
So I go up to him and I'm like, "Rich, what do you want me to say when I bring you up?" He goes, and I don't know why I remember it, but I just remember it so vividly. He goes, "Let them know I'm going to be in the new movie Friday Night Poker with Chevy Chase and Selma Hayek."
Uh-huh.
I'm like, "Oh, that's awesome." So I go up on stage and do my 3 minutes. And then I'm like, "Oh, your headliner tonight, amazing headliner, travels all over the country. He's going to be in the new movie Friday Night Poker with Chevy Chase and Selma Hayek. Give a hand for Rich Seisler." Crowd goes crazy. Yeah. So goes up, great set. Next night, that was back when you worked Wednesday to Sunday at the Providence Connection.
Okay, yeah.
So Thursday night, getting ready to do the show, features on stage. I go up, "Rich, you want me to mention Friday Night Poker?" No. Tell them I'm going to be in Midnight Story with Dustin Hoffman and Angela Lansbury. I'm like, "You're in two movies?" He goes, "No, I make up a different one every single night." And he picks two just actors you'd never see together in a movie.
God.
And so, seven shows, seven different movies the whole weekend.
Oh, my God.
And it was, I thought that was so freaking hilarious. And he said, "Yeah, I love when people come up to me after the show. When's that movie come out? What's it about?" And all I remember was I my only goal that weekend was to get the intros right.
Right.
I wasn't worried about laughs.
That's the big thing.
Just intros, because so many people drilled into me how important that was.
Mike McDonald used to remember Mike McDonald.
Oh, my God.
First, I want you to say this. And then I want you to say this.
So,
and then this.
I nailed it every single Wednesday night, Thursday night, two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. Sunday night, I'm up there. "Your headliner's tonight, amazing. This is the movie he's going to be in." He's standing at the vault door in Providence.
Yep.
I look at his face, blank on the name.
Ah!
Totally blanked. I nailed it every other night. And I'm sitting there standing at him, and he just goes like this, crosses his arms and goes, well?
We've all done
it. He's sitting there like, well? And he's grinning from ear to ear because he could see me sweating.
Oh. You should have said Charlton Heston.
I was so new back then. I went into panic mode, and then all of a sudden it popped in my head. Oh. It probably was a minute.
Yeah.
But it felt like an hour. And I said, Rich Leisler, everybody. I made it sound like I was doing this big buildup and everything. And he comes up on stage and he's laughing his ass off. Nicest person.
Yeah, God rest his soul.
I got to work with his sweater bit.
Yeah.
Oh, hilarious. And the bit he did about the old woman, she's the love of my life.
Yeah. I mean it this time.
And I mean it this time.
He did. He got me my agent. Was the same.
Oh, really?
Same agent. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
For cruise ships.
For cruise ships. Yeah. He did a lot of cool. Unfortunately, that's where he passed.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But he was. But some of these guys, with the intros. I mean, I'm of the ilk that they don't
just say it. Whatever. They don't give a shit.
It's not going to do anything for you.
Funny. That's it. Right. I've had when I was hosting too. And say this and say this. And I had one at the remain nameless. I was at the Comedy Connection. And I want you to say this. He goes, and if you get up there and people go to the bathroom, you stay on until they get back to the bathroom. So I looked at him, I go, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to go up there, I'm going to introduce you, and y'all come on the fucking stage, okay?
Did you really?
I did. No, because yeah. I just hate when people talk down. Just like And to me, it was always like it was the second thing.
I'm always uncomfortable when someone comes up to me and goes, what do you want me to say about you? I'm like
whatever.
I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. Here's a couple of things.
That's it.
Whatever comes out of your mouth that sounds like that, I'm not going to be like, oh, you forgot to say this.
But some do. No, it's crazy.
I think it was the third time I did Noxie's open mic night. There was one of the guys on the open mic night. Noxie comes up and goes, hey, you're next. And he goes to walk away, and the guy goes, you want my intro? And Noxie turns around and goes, you're on the fucking open mic night. You don't have an intro. And he turns on the stage, and I'm just dying laughing.
And that's probably the meanest thing you'd ever hear out of Noxie's mouth.
That's
right?
A great point. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, because the guy beforehand was walking around acting. I don't even think the person does comedy anymore. Yeah, you know, because then the guy goes up on stage, and he went long, and Joey Santagate turned the mic off on him.
Oh, that's
in the middle of his set. So it was.
Yeah, it's funny. People get really Noxie. Say what?
Yeah.
Nobody cares.
And then they'll go out and bomb.
I'm going to say it again?
Yeah.
Because I don't think, I think they stopped listening 20 minutes, 10 minutes
exactly.
In. They might have forgot your intro by now.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it was Colin Quinn said one time, I always love the guys that bomb, and when they're bombing, they'll point to one guy in the front and go, this guy knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's not going to save you, pal. You know what I mean? This guy knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, this next guy was frat guy number 3 in Revenge of the Nerd 7.
One of my favorite ever was people were using the Jimmy Fallon Red Sox movie.
Fever Pitch.
What about Celtic Pride?
Yes!
I have Celtic Pride on mine. I didn't use it, but for a while,
everybody single comic you came close to was in Celtic Pride.
But I know people that said Fever Pitch.
Fever Pitch.
Yeah. You know, you and 70,000 other people that were in Fenway that night.
Exactly.
Would you drive by the Pike when it was on? No, but
I was in Celtic Pride. I was one of the 400 people in the stands during game number 7.
That's
right.
What it was. Because everyone
at the time,
I know was. Yeah. Make sure you tell them I was in.
They
I was featured
in Celtic Pride.
Yep.
Oh,
really? Where were you? Did you have any lines? No, not lines.
I had to throw popcorn at Daniel Stern and Dan Aykroyd.
But you did something.
I did something.
So you
could
technically
say that. And I was sitting in the row behind Red Auerbach, Bob Cousy, and John Havlicek.
I had guys like the Tonight Show. I write for the Tonight Show.
The guys that would send in a joke for $50.
Yeah. So here's the deal. And then I find out they never did. So I started to, and I got jokes used. So I was getting paid, $50, but I never used it.
Right.
And I could because
you legitimately
paid.
Actually
I have the
did
check
get
receipts
paid.
That I did get paid, but right. I worked. And I found out later these other guys, they sent in the jokes, but they never got one right. of you. Stuff like yeah. that's bad.
You know what the popular thing was when I was coming up in the early 2000s? Yeah. As heard on XM satellite radio.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah.
That everybody had been heard on XM satellite. It's like, what did you call him the Dr. Yeah. Ruth show? Right. I mean, what the fuck do you mean you are heard
you
on
don't
XM
even have
satellite
a CD.
Radio?
We've been heard on satellite radio.
Yeah, next guy coming to the stage was not breastfed.
But I agree with you.
Angry.
Unless you're saying he's the host of Jimmy Fallon's show.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Right. You know, you got a that legit someone, big credit. Yes. Credits mean so little when you're going on stage.
Nothing.
Problem, too, is like now, we've talked about this before, too. Now, a lot of the credits I used to have, they're dead.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, this guy opened for Luther Vandross in 1991. Luther's been dead since 95.
Who?
You know?
And a lot of the younger people in the audience are like, who?
Yeah, right, exactly.
I love Luther Vandross. But no, it's so insignificant, I think, unless you're big.
Right.
Right.
So,
right.
But yeah, guys make up a lot. On cruises, they love me because they'll ask me for nothing. I go, do whatever. They go, oh, wow, you want them to leave some of the stuff.
I can imagine.
Yeah. I go, it goes, we have people come with, and they write them down page after page.
Really?
I go, seriously? They go, yep.
You're on a cruise.
I go,
you're on a cruise. No one gives a fuck.
I go, look, if you get my name remotely close, you did a good job.
Right.
not to step on someone that passed, remember Annette Pollock's?
Oh, no.
Intro. I said it so many times hosting her shows. It was 2 pages.
Was it really?
But what was the big one?
Just Shoot Me with David Spade.
No, and the other one?
Jay Leno.
Wasn't she in Schindler's List?
Oh, no.
Come on.
She was an extra.
No, for the longest time, she had the wrong name of it. It was the name they were shooting it under. Ashcliff.
Ashcliff.
Oh, she's going to be in the upcoming Martin Scorsese movie, Ashcliff.
You know when she lost all the weight?
Yeah.
And got really, really skinny and emaciated? Yeah. She was one of the,
one of the
people in the concentration camp.
Oh, my God.
And no, not Schindler's List.
No, then what
Shutter Island, she was one of the mental patients.
Oh.
She was.
She used to say Schindler's List.
She was in Shutter Island.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
God rest her soul.
I know.
She was. Yeah, she looked. Oh, that's.
She got really.
I shouldn't even laugh at that, but that.
She had her big poster board with all the pictures when he came in.
You know
what? She had some fun venues, though, and she would fill the place.
Yeah.
Jimbo's at the Five Corners.
Yeah. Yeah, oh my God.
I worked with, the first time I worked.
Who's booking that now? Maybe we should do the Royal Flush show there.
What was her boyfriend's name?
Brian.
Brian.
I had some weird
Brian.
The two of those. Joey Carroll has the best story.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we're going to have him back on, too. Yeah.
No, but, you know.
She had the operation.
Yeah, she had one of the first ones when it first started.
He went over to get something, or a check or something. She said, Joey, you want to see my scar? And she lifted up this. And I have night sweats, and I wasn't even there. Joe Carroll tells that
just from the
story.
Description.
Oh, my God. I gave Joe a hug. I did a hug after he told me that.
Wow. Poor guy's been over in Afghanistan.
Exactly.
And he needed a hug for that.
Nothing.
We always wrap up the show, and I'm sure you've got a new one, even if you told one on the last episode that you were on.
It was a while ago.
We always wrap up with a funny bad gig story, and this is the gig that wasn't the funny the night of.
When it was happening to you, not funny at all.
Right. But the further
never
away you
happened to
get,
me in my life.
Yeah, no,
always
yeah,
late.
You've always had great shows.
Killed every time.
No, this is the show that, like, the further away you get, and we're in the green room telling, like, oh, my God, you want to, you think that's a shitty gig?
You're one-up.
I got one for
your one-up story.
Yeah.
Oh, I had one just a long time ago. They hired me to do a wedding, which is never good.
Weddings never work.
That was on the list. That was on the list of bad gigs.
Oh, and these guys were definitely made guys. There's no question about it. So I show up. I had like a nice shirt, pair of slacks, and the guy, he said, what are you doing? Where's your suit? I go, well, this is what I got. He says, no, you got to have a suit or a tux or something. I go, he says, wait a minute. He says, come in the men's room here. So here we go. So 5 minutes goes by. I'm in the stall just waiting. Over the stall comes black pants and a white shirt, like a tuxedo shirt. And he made one of the waiters take his uniform
seriously
so I could wear it, and I'm looking for blood stains. So I can't believe this happened. He goes, come on, that'll look good. I look like an idiot. That pants were too short.
You look like, right, yeah.
And it was look all, like you're serving scallops.
Yeah, right.
It was all wrinkled.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And then he goes, no, that, now you look like a comedian. I go, I look like an asshole.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And I go, what do you want me to look like? Yeah, Joey Bishop?
All right, only the over 45 people get that.
That's the first time Joey Bishop has been mentioned on the show.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That is.
Absolutely.
So, like weddings, you come out in the weddings and you're like, well, first of all, I look like a, and I'm, you know, no one's listening.
Yeah.
No one's listening. And I'm just sitting there and I'm just going through the motions. And then the guy could be, hey, that was beautiful. That was, I go, it sucked. No one laughed. Oh, that was terrific. And you look good. You look good doing this joke, too.
Yo.
I says, now, do yo. I got to give this back or is he dead?
Yeah, right.
The waiter. You know, if he's dead, I'll just take it home.
I'm right. Going to keep it.
But yeah, picture me over the stall comes these clothes.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Holy so, shit. Hopefully you got paid well.
I got, yeah, it was good.
All right. All right. Yeah,
yeah. We all have some crazy shit stories.
That's it.
There was one other one on a cruise ship. Front row, this Asian woman, and very nice, she's on her phone, the whole phone.
Yeah.
So I'm going,
she's taking a drive-in test?
I don't
sorry. I'm trying to make
should I timestamp that
you
one,
might
dude?
Want to.
Yeah, yeah. If she passed, she was going to get to ride the ship.
Yeah, oh.
But she's like on the phone, and I'm going, you know, you've been there, and you're like, and everyone's, well, it's a good crowd. Like,
yeah, and it throws you off. But, that's the one person that you're focused
yeah.
on,
so
right?
I go, ma'am, you're not liking any of this? And she's not looking. And the daughter says, she doesn't speak English. I says, oh, well, that's where you want to be in the front row of a comedy show.
Yeah.
She goes, well, she's checking the stock market in China. I says, really? And the whole time, she's just head down. And all of a sudden, she looks up and she smiles. And yeah. She puts her head back down. But people like that on ships, funny, they don't speak English and they'll come to the comedy show and they'll sit in the front.
Just something to do.
Something to do. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Then I just went, there was a bunch of Spanish people. And I'm from Chelsea, so I should know the language. But
yeah.
I don't.
Yeah. Just the swear words.
But they're just looking at me, just smiling.
Yeah.
Not a clue what I'm
really?
Talking about.
Really?
But last.
It's a different world.
I told them, look at, we're going to Cosimo, but there's a wall. Oh, can't say that.
It's a big, beautiful wall. Beautiful. I'm just saying. It's not just me saying it. Everyone's saying it, okay? Okay.
And Mexico's going to pay for it.
He's coming back. He's coming back.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be fantastic.
Brad, if someone wants to buy your CD, where could they find it?
Well, they don't have to buy it. It's on Spotify, I guess. Yep. It's on iTunes. Oh, I guess it's on all the
Pandora.
You're a great salesperson. Yeah. Really good.
I think I get paid like on satellite on XM.
Yeah,
Raw Dog and all that stuff.
Yep.
I get that's what Jim told. Jim knows all this stuff.
Yep.
So that's where I guess you make the money.
You don't get anything if they listen on Pandora or Spotify.
Yeah, it's like, very small.
Every 6 months, I get a check for like $60.
Yeah.
And then when you look at the report, the breakdown,
right.
It's literally each time your joke is a joke is played,
yeah.
It's like 0.000001 cent.
So it got played a lot of times for $60.
It actually does.
Well, I've learned that you're right, though. That, so what they really want is the satellite radio. That's, I guess, where you make.
Cool.
Some guys, I've talked to some guys who make pretty damn good money.
Really?
Which I had no idea. So,
and I never sent mine into satellite radio.
I didn't know. There's got to be some, but at least Jim knew them. That's why it's good. Because I don't know. I can try to find out.
Well, if you have satellite radio, go to the Comedy Channel, listen for Brad. But if you want, I'll put a link to Spotify to his actual CD so you can check him out. Very funny comic.
And then I'm going to be, it's a while off now, but in June I'm coming back to the Bradley.
Yes, yes.
It was very nice to let me out of this other one because I had a cruise ship.
I had two cruise ship comics on the show in March and both of them asked.
Oh, who else was on?
Jim Collardin.
Oh, Jim was on too.
Jim's like, literally 2 days after you contacted me, he reached out and he goes, hey, I'm on a cruise ship and they asked if they could accept, and I'm like, You know, I got to spread my cruise ship guys out a little
bit. One cruise ship comic on each show.
If it makes you feel better.
Yeah.
One came up in June and I said no.
Thank you.
I'm not. Why? I says because I bugged out once, Scott. I'm not, and they go, oh well, that's very nice. I go, no, that's. I feel bad. I hate that.
I get it. I
no. So but that's a great venue, and I'm looking forward to it.
I try to be flexible with guys because I understand.
I mean, poor guy will be panhandling that weekend because you're not paying him what the cruise ship was. But
I can't wait. I love that place. I did it once, great, and it was fantastic. So yeah.
No, we got
a fun show.
The weekend he's on is
Annette Pollock.
Yes.
Bringing all the dead ones back.
She's hosting.
God.
But so far, I have Richie Burns on that show.
Time stamp.
No way.
No, he's keeping that one in.
Richie
Byrne.
Frank Vignola.
Oh, wow.
And I
forget Rick Adonna?
I've already had Rick Adonna there. I have one other.
Yeah. Have you?
No, Jim Collinen.
Oh, Collinen. Oh,
Jim, I moved him to that one. So you and Jim, and then the two New York guys.
Oh, great.
Maybe. We'll see.
Could change by then. Who knows?
Scotty, I got a gig on a canoe. Can I get out of it?
Exactly.
But I have my other theater that I started booking that Ace did with me last time.
Yeah.
It's in Nyannick, Connecticut, the Nyannick Playhouse.
That's nice. A cool little
We did one show last fall. Yep. They loved it. Good. So they gave me three dates this year.
Awesome.
So we'll talk after.
All right. Yeah.
So
great.
I got two dates this year there. So
great.
Well, the first one's coming up next week, and then we'll have a couple more after that.
Which
so.
Won't mean anything, because this is going to come out probably in about a month.
No, but if they go to scotthigginscomedy.com,
you'll see where they are.
All eight of my theater shows this year, I have eight of them
Scotty.
Are all going to be on there.
Awesome.
And so will the link to Brad's CD on Spotify.
That's right, yes.
Which is the most important thing, our guest.
And Annette Pollock will be on all shows. She's booked for eight of
Brad. Them. Brad, how many tracks you got on your CD, Brad?
Listen, how can Brad, I get word of that CD?
Brad, I'm going to mail you flyers for your CD.
We're totally
Make sure you
control.
Hand out your flyers.
This is where the
this will be the most show went show yet.
It went off the rails at 1 hour, 16 minutes, and 37 seconds.
Where the fuck is Brian with my flyers?
God. All right, folks. We hope you enjoyed Brad Mastrangelo.
I enjoyed
Please
all of you.
Download his CD so he
at
can make a couple of bucks.
Com.
That would be funny if you bought that domain name.
Oh, that would be perfect.
That's your assignment. Next time you're on, you better have annettepollock.com as your domain name.
We're all
name.
Going right to hell. You know that.
All right.
Well, thank you, guys. This was always fun. Fantastic.
Thanks, Brad.
Man. A lot of fun.
Yep.
Thank you so much for joining us this week. We hope you enjoyed this week's episode. If you really want to help out the podcast, one great way to do that is to go wherever you download your episode and give us that 5-star written review.
Yeah, that really helps us with the analytics and the algorithms. Helps more people find us. And speaking of more people finding us, tell a friend about us. If you enjoy the show and you've got friends that enjoy comedy podcasts or podcasts in general, please let them know about Behind the Funny.
Of course, we will talk to you
next week.